This is Indie Book Publishing. Indie Book Publishing is a show about new books and the authors who wrote them. It's an opportunity for prospective readers to hear directly from the writers, to hear what inspired them to write and publish, and to hear all the inside details about their books. And now, Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, New Word, Volume 1, Take It As I Predict It, Orate It, and the author is Leila Kukulia, and she is coming to us from the Republic of Georgia in the old Soviet Union, and her nephew, Richard Kabalia, is translating for us. Hello, Richard.
Hi.
Great to have you with us, and Leila, welcome, Leila. Hello.
Gamajuga, Leila. Hi.
Hi.
Great to have you here. Let me read a couple things just so everyone understands in general what your book is about, and then we'll find out about you and how this all came about. You say this, "This book is a new word from cosmos. This is a colossal energy that brings peace. It helps the earth to survive. This book also, as you wrote, is this book is my life. These are the notes that I make every day. Notes not about myself, but about the whole world. You call yourself a prophet, and you say that your book is filled with your prophecies, and they've all come true. So first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself, Leila, and why you've decided to write this book.
Leila, I think you're showing the crowd or the same thing, you know, cosmos in a damn example, the thing, Nicolas Charlie Dallas Matarebelli, the she's a good to think of that met was Ratum Gaddis with the Rato Tate or Tigny, the side and Modus is well paid energy at the Razia well paid side. I'm Xenio.
Amis Axna. Amas, ეს ახსასაც არ საჭიროებს, უნდა დაждდე და წაიკითხო წიგნი და თვითონ წიგნი გიყვება, ვინ არის, რა არის და რა ხდება, იმიტომ რომ მთელ სოფლიო გლობალურ პოლიტიკას წინას არ მეტყველებთ აქ. ეს ნამდვილად ახალი სიტყვაა და წამოსულია უდიდესი დიდი ენერგია დედამიწის და ხალხის დასაცავად.
Well, she says the book speaks itself for itself, and the book has a huge energy, as you said, mentioned before, to protect the earth and save the earth and the people, and it's coming from the above, from the universe. Hold on a minute.
How did she become a prophet? How did she receive her calling?
Როგორ გახდიო წინასწარმეტყველიო, როგორ მიიღო შენი წოდება, როგორ წინასწარმეტყველიო, ვინ შეგატყობინა რომ იყავი წინასწარმეტყველი?
ეს იცი რა არის, ასეთ კითხვას ყოველთვის მისვავენ და მე არაცოდეს იშვიათად ვცემ ამაზე პასუხს, იმიტომ რომ მე უფრო მეტად ვმუშაობ ფაქტებს ვდებ მაგიდაზე, რომ იწვიან გესმისენ ფაქტებს, რომელიც მერე სრულდება და ეს წინასწარმეტყველებები თვითონ ლაპარაკობენ ამას, მაგრამ ეს ინტერესი რომ მე როგორ გავხდი, მე წარმოიდგინეთ რომ მე ასეთი დავიბადე, მე აი ასეთი ვარ.
I didn't become this way, she says. She says I was born this way. She says, I'm getting this question all the time, but I don't really always answer that. But she says, I write the facts, and then these facts will come through or did come through, and they always come to her, and then in time everything comes through. That's what she says.
Tell us about her book, how it's laid out. I see a lot of predictions, a lot of prophecy on certain dates. It's kind of like a notebook, and she got those on those dates, and then they have come true. Is that the way that's laid out when she received them, and then we can see that those prophecies, those predictions have come true?
I'm going to ask her this, but it's fine, but I'll ask her. The dates are related to the dates when she said this vision, when she had those visions, when she saw these things and happening. There is no time, she says, in the cosmos, the universe, it's no time. She cannot tell the time, but the dates are related to the dates that she had visions. But I'll ask her. Lila, როგორ აქ გაქოს ყოველფერიო დაალაგებულიო, როგორ წერდი რომ შენ წინასწარმეტყველებებსო, როგორ ვხედავოს შენ წინასწარმეტყველებები, რომ არის რაღაცა ჩანაწერებივითო, ტიკეტ ათე დღეებით რაღაცებით, როგორ აკეთებს ყველას ყოველფერს, როგორ ხდება პროცესი?
ეს ხდება ისე, რომ ფაქტიურად მე ძალიან მიყვარს ეს ჩემი რა დავარქვათ ახლა ამას, რა თქმა უნდა, წინასწარმეტყველებები. აი, ინფორმაცია რომ მოდის, მე ამ ინფორმაციას, ინფორმაცია გადამაგარ ველში, იმ წუთში შევხედავ საათს, მაგალითად 2 საათია დღეს. ასა თუ დავინახე საღამოს 9 საათია, 9 საათს უწევ. და წერ აი 2000 მაგალითად 13 წლის 9 აპრილს და მერე უკვე წერ იმას, რასაც ხედავ, რა ინფორმაციასაც მაძიან. არის როდესაც ჩვენ ვაკეთებთ ანალიზებს და რა თქმა უნდა უმეტესად კი როცა არის, როცა უკვე წინასწარმეტყველებთ, გამიგე. და ამას ყველაფერს მე ვაფიქსირებ, ვაფიქსირებ რეულებში და აგერ თქვენს ნახეთ როგორი ციგნი, ასე რომ ვთქვათ, შეიქმნა. შეიქმნა. ეს არის მთელი მსოფლიო გლობალური პოლიტიკა. ეს უცნაურია, რა თქმა უნდა, მე შემიძლია ვთქვა, რა ხდება ინგლისში, რა ხდება ამერიკაში, რა ხდება ახლო აღმოსავლეთში და უამრავი წინასწარმეტყველებია ჩემილი ახალს ჩამოვთვალო, უმნიშვნელოვანესი რაც ახდა და რაც უნდა ახდეს კიდევ.
Well, as I said, and you've noticed also, yes, it's like a notebook, and she has visions. It can be a different part of the day. It can be 7 a.m. or 12 midnight or any time of the day. And she has that energy coming to her, and those are like energies and also the visions. Sometimes the visions are like predictions, and sometimes the vision can be like analyticals too. So she writes everything down on a piece of paper, and sometimes, not sometimes, but all the time when she does that, she looks at the time, and she puts the time, like what time it was when she had this vision. And her visions mainly are like global, political. She can tell what can happen, not a bad way, it can be a good thing, but what could happen in London or USA or somewhere in other part of the world. And, you know, all the facts that she sees, she puts them on a piece of paper. But mainly it's more like a political, economical, because her vision is more mainly focused on saving the earth and the people. That's what she's writing all about. But it's always a different time of day. That's why you say different. It's all dated with the time and date.
So what span of dates are we talking about in her book? Her book is recording her notes from what date to what date?
Oh, you want to say, are you saying like, you know, one of the predictions, when the prediction will come through?
Well, not necessarily, but is this book filled with these notes that you have of these visions and these other energies that she felt, analytical kinds of things, but are they dated
right
from, you know, from a 10-year span or a 15, 20-year span?
Oh, the backing. Okay. I thought you were asking me what the dates meant. Okay, well, make it clear about Russian. რა დროის ის არის, მაგალითად შეიძლება რომ რაღაცა იყო 10 წლის წინანდელიო, აი რა წიგში რომ წერე 10 წლის წინანდელიო, 10 წლის მერე მოხდებაო თუ როგორ არის.
ესე არა. მე დავინახე ეს ინფორმაცია ზუსტად მაგალითად იმ დროს, იმ წელიწადს და წერ იმ დროს, როცა მე ამას ვწერ, გამიგე? და მე რო გადის წლები, დაუშვათ 2 წელი, 3 წელი, 5 წელი, დრო საერთოდ კოსმოსში არ არსებობს, გამიგე შენ? არ არსებობს. დროს მე ვაფიქსირებ, რომ მე მაგალითად ახლა 2010 წელს დავინახე, რომ ამერიკის პრეზიდენტი აუცილებლად იყიდის ჯეიმს ფიქს, რომელშიც უამრავი პოლიტიკური წინასწარმეტყველებია. და ეს ციგნი არის ჩემი ციგნი, ქართული წინასწარმეტყველი ლელა კაკულიას. აი, უთხარი ახლა მე ბევრს სოსო შენ ვერ
გიყვარს. Okay, she said, but I'm not sure if I get your question right, but if I don't, she said that she can't see the time. There is no time in the universe. Whenever she has prediction, she She writes it down, she puts the date, what time it was, and then the prediction may come through like in 2 or 3 or 5 years from now. Like she says, for instance, like in 2010, when she was getting ready for her book, she predicted that, I'm not sure, I didn't ask which president, but American president will buy her book, just to like, as an analytical, just to kind of go through and to see the book, to analyze it. I don't know which president, we can ask that if she knows, but she can't see the time. And I don't know if that was your question.
I think my question is, I'm looking at her book, and it looks like the first note is like in 1992 and comes all the way up into 2000, right? It could go all the way to 2010, these notes.
Yes, yes. And there's also, as I know, she's not hearing right now, I can tell her. There's more coming, like in the first and volume first and two, there is a lot about Russia and Georgia and about the other countries, but she has the predictions now coming up 2011 and 12. You're right. 11 and 12, it's all about Europe and Canada and USA. Yes. You're right. It's 2010. But it was in 2010 when we brought the book in production. It was still
right.
7 more months, but we didn't do that yet.
And there's more books to come.
There is more book to come, yeah. And then a third level will be strictly related to USA, to Canada, and Europe.
Well, looking at March 22nd, 1992. There's talks about atomic leakages on the territory of Russia. An explosion worse than Chernobyl. That's what she's predicting back in 1992 that's going to happen. It hasn't happened yet.
Yes. Which one? The Russian? Hang on 1 second. 1992, the witch prediction hasn't happened yet. I missed that.
Well, she says that an atomic leakage on the territory of Russia worse than that of Chernobyl.
Oh, really? Because I thought it was in Japan. Okay, let me ask her. Yeah, she says yes, definitely will happen. It hasn't come yet.
Right.
But yeah, I didn't. I thought it was.
There's a couple other things I'm looking at again on that same date, March 22nd, 1992. The Russian-Ukrainian war is inevitable. It even talks about the destruction of the Eiffel Tower of France.
Agreve Ucraina tu Rusetis Gardel Omze, da Aselve, Saprangeci, Saprangeti Sat Snobil Koshki Ruari Magis Dangrevas Giana Mara Gansa Kutabit Ho, Aceli Gala Taimas Koshki.
Esari Gamom Dinare Kinaro, Mesustat Magdrosas Erti, Rom Mesare Soplio Omis Saptre Ikneba, Targnega, Tamergawazel.
Well, she also was saying at the same time that it was the unavoidable third one.
Ხო, მესამე მსოფლიო ომის საფრთხე იქნება, ირანი ძლიერდება და გულია ამ მუსულმანების გაერთიანებისა, ირანში იქნება დიდი პრობლემები, მაკედან იწყება, გესმის, და ირანი იწყებს მერე მოძრაობას.
Magram Rusetsi Chernobyl-ის ომი ეს როგორ? Და ამავე დროს საფრანგეთის კოშკი ეს რო.
კაცო, საფრანგეთის კოშკს დაემუქრება ნგრევა, ვсё, ეს არის წინასწარ მეტყველება, ხო? დავინახეთ ეს და ჩვენ ახლა ამის ირგვლივ სხვა ინფორმაცია არ წამოსულა, გამიგე? ამის საშიშროება აუცილებლად შეიქმნება, როგორც შეიქმნა დაუშვათ იაპონიაში, როცა პირდაპირ თქვით, რომ ატომური გაჟონვა იქნება ცუნამი და დამანგრეველი ძალის, ხო? 2000 წელი იყო, 8 წელი იყო, ხო? გავიდა 3 წელი თუ რამდენი წელი და ასრულდა. ახლა ასრულდება ასებს.
Ара, მიდი გადათარგმნი. She says the same time Gotcha, okay, she says the same time, like, when you saw this 1992 about the Chernobyl, yeah, it will come, it will take the place So the tower that was about the destruction that will take the place too. And also she says that same time she had a vision about this World War III, and that it comes from Iran because it's all Muslim, the center of the Muslim, United Muslim is in Iran, and that war will be also unavoidable. That also she was saying at the same time. And then like in, she said, 2008, I believe she mentioned about the Japan leakage, and that actually took place. The same as well, those other fights that she's talking about
right.
that will take place.
Right, and of course, and that for everyone's information, these notes are just one after another, one line after another, with a date when she received them, and it's really sobering. And of course, most of them are catastrophic. For example, again on March 22nd, 1992, she felt that there was going to be some kind of a virus spreading in the world, specifically a liver disease, she says, and.
Yes.
And half the population of mankind is under danger of extermination because of it.
Yes, I know. I would. Lela, ასევე მაგავე იმავე დროს 1992 წელს შეიძლება უკვე თრფული ამამტყოფობა დაფიქსირებული, რომელიც დაკავშირებული ადამიანის რვიცთან რაღაცნაირად და ეს იქნება იმდენად ცუდი დაავადება, რომ მთლიანად თუ შეიძლება თითქმის ნახევარ ხალხს მოსწორს დედამიწაზეო.
იცი რა არის ეს დაავადება შეიძლება შემადარო და რო იყო ხო იყო ხოლერა ადრე შავი ჭირი და ხო აი მაგდაგვარი რა მეორდება მაგდაგვარი ოღონდ სულ სხვა სახეს 21 საუკუნის სცენია ესა გამიგე მაგრამ ისევე გამოიგოთ რა თქმა უნდა წამლებსაც მაგრამ პირველ ეტაპზე ეს თავისას იზავს გესმის შენ და დიდ დარტყმას მიაყენებს კაცობრიობას მერე კი გამოსორდა რა თქმა უნდა წამალის და ეს ყველაფერი იქნება აუცილებლად
It's like she says back in centuries when a simple things now it seems like a simple things and people can be cured but back in centuries like 15th or 16th centuries that there was a simple which is simple today nowadays but back then it was just spreading out a disease it was killing and destroying the villages and kind of something like this like a similar version of that on 21st century will take the place that we're talking about. Of course, we'll find a cure to it, but that will definitely come true and that will take the place, and that's going to happen. That's going to be another a problem that we will be facing in the future as far as the health issue, yeah.
Well,
but
we
will find a way to cure it, but it will take time.
Well, we really appreciate having Leila Kukulia on our show, Indie Book Publishing, as well as Richard Kabalia, he's been translating her nephew. Richard, tell us how to get Layla's book, New Word, Volume 1, Take It As I Predict It, Orate It.
And also I can be contacted if people want to know more.
It's on Trafford.
You can give out my number.
Okay, I will. The book is published by Trafford Publishing. Of course, you can go on all the online book retailers, Amazon, and others, Barnes & Noble, and find the book. Leila Kukulia, K-A-K-U-L-I-A, and you can call Richard at 973-464-2484 to get more information on how to get the book. Well, thank you so much, Richard, for being with us on Indie Book Publishing.
Thank you very much for having us on your show. Thank you.
Lela,
great meeting you. Kada tugina rame utkhra.
Me minda mas utkhra, sosoro, es zalyan George, kho?
She's asking your name.
Oh, I'm Steve. Steve Jordan.
Steve Jordan, Lela.
Steve Jordan. Steve, es chemi tsigni my book. Aris zalyan mnishnelovani soplyostvis, zalyan. ეს ციგნი პოლიტიკოსებისთვის არის განკუთვნილი, რომელიც დიდ პოლიტიკას თამაშობენ. აქ ბევრი საჭიროა ბევრი რამის გარჩევა. აქ დიდი ინფორმაცია, რომელიც მართლა გადაარჩენს მსოფლიოს და ხალხს, მართლა გადაარჩენს. ეს ინფორმაცია გადაუთარგნე.
She says that her book is very important, and mainly it's very much political book, and this book is for the people who is into the politics, like the book, big politicians, and she says that it's very important to read this book in order to save the world and lives and planet. So, and she says, basically that's what she said, okay. And then she didn't finish it. Ravi, you like it?
Ამ ასეთი გადაცემებით ამ წიგზე პატარა დროით ვერ ისაუბრებ, გესმის შენ? აი ვერ გადმოცემ იმას, რაც არის აი ამ წიგში, გესმის?
Yeah, in such a short time, it's very hard to talk about
sure.
this book. It's so
it
much
is.
To talk about.
It is, but I think we understand what it's about and how serious it is, and her many, many visions and prophecies, predictions are in her book, New Word, Volume 1. Take it as I predict it. Thank you so much, everyone, for being with us on Indie Book Publishing.
Thank you. Mes misolelo, da mes misolelo, me vitsiro, arari takmanisi, amdeni dro. Thank you. Thank you. Okay.
And this interview has been brought to everyone by Trafford Publishing.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Get ready to live la bella vita. With Dawn Catherine on TogiNet.com. Live La Bella Vita. If you're wanting to know all the beauty tricks of the trade and the latest fashion trends before everyone else, this is your show. If you admire celebrities' beauty and their fashion sense, this is your show. Do you love wine and want to know more about the process it takes to make wine from the vine to the bottle? This is your show. Live La Bella Vita. For more on the show and your host, check out our website, LaBellaVitaCosmetico.com. This is the kind of show you can sink your teeth into. If you enjoy traveling and food and family, all with an Italian flair, then you can live La Bella Vita with your host, Dawn Catherine. Wednesday nights at midnight, 11 p.m. Central on TogiNet.com. Mark Lipinski is coming to TogiNet. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski, a live two-hour show Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on TogiNet.com. Creative Mojo. It's fun, entertaining, informative, inspirational, and illuminating. Lipinski has worked on such shows as Oprah, The View, The Joan Rivers Show, and Ricky Lake. He's busy, but he's got the drive to share with Creative Mojo, dedicated to the modern crafter and crafting lifestyle. Dive into the info and enjoy everything from celebs to entertainment news to recipes, quilting and needlework, knitting, painting, woodworking, Christmas crafts, and so much more. This show boldly encourages you to discover and harness your own creative spirit by living creatively every day. For more on Mark and the show, check out marklipinski.com. Don't miss the fun. It's Creative Mojo with Mark Lipinski, Wednesday afternoon starting at 3, 2 Central on TogiNet.com. Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, Revelation 2, Bang Spoke the Prophet, and the author is Guy Deschausse. And Guy joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to you by Abbott Press. Hello, Guy.
Hello. Steve, great. How are you doing?
Well, great to have you with us. You say this about your book. It's about the time of the end, which I think we are in right now, and describes a band of modern-day disciples' reaction to it. It's a story of their trials, tribulations, and their triumphs. You also say that this book does not have a rapture of believers. The book is much less literal and much more complex. It's kind of like a prophetic fiction. Is that what would you describe it that way?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I wanted it to be prophetic, but not tiresome. And I wanted it to intrigue the reader and to be a warning, but that wasn't just, I've heard this all before. And so I wanted to have modern times in such a way that it would intrigue the reader and get them to think about it and hopefully wake up.
Well, let's talk about the title, Revelation 2, T-O-O, bang, spoke the prophet. Now, where did that come from?
Well, Revelation 2, I hesitated with that for quite a while, and I couldn't think of a better thing to say that it is also revelation, because I do believe that there are things that are happening now that are revealing, and I think each person in a minor way can prophesy, and I felt like I was doing that, not that I'm a prophet, but that the Holy Spirit was working through me. I couldn't rest until I wrote this book, and so that's what I meant by two. And I thought, well, I haven't been struck by lightning yet, so I guess it's okay. And then bang spoke the prophet. I've always heard T.S. Eliot, not with a bang, but a whimper. And I felt, no, I think it's going to be more of a bang than a whimper when the world ends, especially if it ends according to, and I do believe in the Bible and Revelation, and it will be quite an ending to it as we know it. I wanted to say, not with a whimper, but a bang, but I thought, well, not everyone knows T.S. Eliot, and so I just said, bang, spoke the prophet. And there's a lot of talk about explosions, and the invention of gunpowder is talked about in my book, and so I thought it all seemed, to go together.
Well, we go back through time, back to the 13th century.
Right, yeah.
So before we get into those details, though, Guy, tell us a little bit about yourself and why you decided to do this.
Oh, well, I just had this stirring that people were not getting that we're near the end, and that I felt religious leaders were not getting it. And I said at one point that we're all like on all the watchers anyway, the watchmen on the wall, were looking out for the enemy to approach from far distance, and really that they've already come inside. They've been led inside, kind of like the Trojan horse, and so I'm blowing the trumpet now, realizing that it may already be too late, that the enemy that we've been watching for is already here. And the United States, I think, is probably the land beast of prophecy, of Revelation, and will be the enforcer to make everyone worship the beast, or the dragon, the image of the dragon.
So you take us back to the 13th century. Why take us back there as part of the plot?
That was sort of came to me, and I just had a dream about a golem, which is a creature made out of clay that is given life, supposedly. And when I started researching that, and it just sort of all came together, and with the invention of gunpowder and what that did to the world, and during that time period, and then that golem figures heavily into the rest of the story. Because you can put him into suspended animation, he basically can live forever and so on. That just seemed to be a unifying feature in the book, and that was sort of an inspiration that didn't really come from me. So
we're having a crusade. We're learning about them and secrets they're bringing back from the Holy Land?
Right. I sort of wanted the Crusaders to be good, and unfortunately, when they came back, they brought the secrets that later became the Knights Templar, and they were persecuted by the church and the state at that time because they had a lot of money, for one thing, and I wasn't sure if they were good or evil. That's been talked about a lot by many people. In their early history, I don't know, but I do believe they became twisted and evil if they weren't from the start, and they are behind what we call the New World Order now, the Freemasons and the Illuminati, whatever you want to call them. They go under various names, but they worship Satan ultimately. The people that are in these fraternal orders don't know that until they get up into the higher levels, and then that's gradually revealed to them if they show an inclination to be in the higher levels, and then that's revealed, and then by that time it's too late, or they've already shown that that's okay with them to worship Satan.
So it's a reflection of what's happening today, this fictional account.
Yes, yes. And I don't, well, I can't really know the truth always, and so I wove the truth, plus if I did know the truth, I probably would already be dead. And so I've been trying to weave it in with fiction and let the reader draw their own conclusions and study it a little further. There's a lot of things on the internet that you can look at it further and find out more and more. Unfortunately, there's also a lot of lies on the internet, so it's hard to sift through it, and I think I allude to that a lot in my book. But there's enough good things on there to figure out that, yes, there is a order that's behind the scenes that's not good, and that's what's going to be prevalent during the end times.
So as you put it, the rulers of the earthly realm begin to see that the power they thought they controlled really controls them.
Right. It's sort of the old thing where people stand in the pentagram and they conjure up the demons, and then when the demons arrive, whoops, they hope that the people that conjured them hope that they can control these things once they get them, and they don't always. You know, Faustus and all these old stories come to mind where people sold their soul and thought that somehow that they'd get it back at the end, and the devil's pretty wily, and you don't often break your bargain with him. And a lot of musicians too, you know, there's the crossroads where you go and sell your soul to have be adept with the guitar or whatever, and then you hope somehow you're going to get out of that deal at the end, and sometimes you do, and more than often you don't. So
are they the false prophets of today?
Yeah, I'd say they're among them. The thing is that some of these people, I mean, when someone's making the horned sign with their hand, and they've got skulls on their shirt, and so on and so forth, upside down cross, and all these symbols that we know are satanic, it's pretty easy to see what they're up to. But when you go into a church and the minister in front doesn't tell you the truth and is sugarcoating things or leading you astray, he's the shepherd, and he's not, or she, you know, is not leading the sheep into a safe haven. They are more a danger, I think, than someone who's obviously satanic. That's what I'm kind of worried about and warning about, is people who say, well, all religion's the same, and we're all going to, you know.
Yeah, we're all going to get to heaven, right? All Christians are going to get to heaven.
Right, and maybe not even just Christians. Everyone's going to get to heaven. And it's all the same. We're all on the same path to God, and I'm afraid that that's not the case. And Jesus himself says, all those who say, Lord, Lord, I'll say,
right.
You know, you'll say, didn't I cast out demons in your name? Didn't I? And there's a particular televangelist that is known for slaying people in the spirit. He waves his hands and people just fall flat on their faces and so on. I think there's maybe, I don't want to accuse anyone, maybe not him, but there are people like that do all these things, wonderful things, supposedly, miraculous signs, but they don't know the real Jesus. And when they call on him in the end, he's going to say, I never knew you. They did things, but they did not do them. They did not do God's work or the Lord's work. And they're going to be out in the cold because they never knew Jesus. Jesus never knew them.
So it all boils down to spiritual warfare?
Amen.
Good, yep. Versus evil.
Yes. And yeah, it's a, and I say that constantly in the book, that it's not a matter of this nation against that nation, or these folks against those folks, or anything like that. It's not something you see in with your physical eyes or experience physically. It's all in the spiritual realm, and that's where the real warfare is going on. And so you've got to get right with God and be righteous under the blood of Jesus, and then you fight with the sword of the Spirit, not the flesh and blood.
So there's tough times ahead. Nobody likes to think about suffering, but suffering is part of our future?
I believe it is. There's some evidence that at the very end, Jesus will put us under protection, but there's not a big, I'm not sure about that. And in the meantime, we see every day out in the Middle East and even all over the world where Christians and other people are suffering a lot of satanic woe, because the Satan really is in charge of the earth right now. And so people are being tortured and killed and sacrificed, and that's part of the martyrdom that has to happen, unfortunately. And I don't believe in a rapture that's going to help believers escape that. In Revelation, when the bowls of wrath are poured out, the wrath of God is only on the unbelievers. But unfortunately, the wrath of Satan, he knows his time is short, and he's going to go after the seed of the woman, which is the church, and he's going to go after the seed of Jesus, which is the church, and try to kill them, as he's been doing all along. And so we are probably going to suffer. The believers will suffer for a while. But ultimately, we have the second, life eternal, and that's our payment. So eternal life is a good price to pay, I guess, for a little suffering now.
Well, you want to entertain, but you want to warn the reader. Why should we believe you?
Check it out and compare it especially to the Bible. If you don't believe the Bible, I guess I can't help you, but check out what I say with the Bible. Now, since then, since I wrote this, I've grown a little bit. I guess we all do, we hope, every day. And there's some things that I would have changed. I've become more of a Seventh-day Adventist now. But I tried to really, even though it's fiction, I tried to, when I talked in there or had a character do something or say something, a character that's on the side of good, I checked it out with biblical scripture to make sure that they were pretty much in line with what scripture says. And so what the beliefs espoused by the believers in my book are biblically sound, I at least as far as I can tell, is I sure tried. And I do believe that the Holy Spirit helped me with that. Like I say, all the mistakes are mine, but the good things were done by the Spirit. It's just that I cannot always stand away and let the Spirit write the whole book, because I am a human being, and the Spirit works through me, but I can't be invisible and let the Spirit write everything. I think that's sort of the problem with a lot of writing, and that's the nature of being human.
So the theme really zeroes in on, it's a battle for the human mind or the human will.
Yes, yes. And it always has been, from the time, when in the Garden of Eden with the apple, Satan was trying to get the humans to accept his way of doing things, and they did. And then the Tower of Babel, let's do it, Satan's way and become greater than God. And now we've got people on Oprah Winfrey telling us that we're all God. And it's It's you can either believe in God and serve God, or you can think you're a God, but you're ultimately going to serve Satan. I got news for everyone that thinks they're going to be a God. If you worship Satan, you're going to be worshiping Satan for, you know, until you're wiped out at the end. But I don't believe in hell, that you're punished forever. I do think you'll be burned up in the sea of lake of fire fairly quickly. But so I don't think an eternal punishment. But that's just, again, something someone could disagree with me on. That's questionable. I mean, it's in the Bible, and it's hard to determine. We'll know when it happens, I guess. But I'm not going to risk it. But I don't think Satan, you know, is such an egoist that he's not going to let anyone be equal or to him. You know, think about it. if he couldn't stand being under God, he's not going to let you or, you know, his worshipers ever come onto the throne with him. So
we've been listening to Guy de Chaussée. Guy is the author of his book, Revelation 2, Bang, Spoke the Prophet. Guy, tell us how to get your book.
It's available from Abbott Press at www.abbottpress.com or any of your preferred online retailers.
Thank you so much for being with us on Indie Book Publishing.
Thank you, Steve.
And this interview has been brought to everyone by Abbott Press.
You're listening to Indie Book Publishing, and we'll be right back after these messages. Get ready to laugh along with This Little Parent Stayed Home with Ali Lopreet. Friday evenings at 6, 5 Central on TogiNet.com. This is a truly realistic, no-nonsense, tell-it-like-it-is method that will have you laughing and crying, surviving while struggling, and hammering away at the hardships as you travel through the greatest journey of your life. Get empowered by joining thousands of other parents who have also decided to take a leap of faith into a double career with longer hours and half the pay simply because of the love they have for their children. Together, we are rebuilding a new economy that will support us rather than enslave us. Never again will we have to choose between raising our children and earning to provide for them. It won't be easy, but it will be worth it. For more on Allie and her success, check out her website, OurMilkMoney.com. So come get empowered with This Little Parent Stayed Home with Allie Lopreet, Friday afternoons at 6, 5 Central on TogiNet.com.
People think I've made it. I'm popular. I seem happy all the time. I have great clothes and I'm involved in everything. But I have questions, doubts, and fears, just like every other teenager. That's why I'm glad for Teen Talk Radio, where it's all about choices.
Join us for Teen Talk Radio with Nicole Odell, Thursday nights at 10, 9 Central on TogiNet.com.
The choices we have to make that can alter the course of our lives. Life is too much pressure if we try to go it alone. I tune in to Teen Talk Radio with Nicole Odell every week to get reminded that I'm not alone. Nicole Odell is an expert on what happens in the lives of teenagers. Join her as she deals with topics like peer pressure, purity, drugs, alcohol, and many other things that might come up along the way. She writes books and speaks to people all over the place, but she says her favorite moments are when she can pull up a chair and chat with teens about what's important to us.
For more information on Nicole and her books, go to NicoleOdell.com. Then join us for Teen Talk Radio with Nicole Odell, Thursday nights at 10, 9 Central on TogiNet.com.
Teen Talk Radio, where it's all about choices.
Welcome back to Indie Book Publishing, helping authors publish, promote, and sell their books around the world. Now, back to your host, Steve Jorgensen.
The title of the book, I Am Not Silent, Our Zoloft and Depression Story. And the author is Gail Schmidt-Kuntz. And Gail joins us now on Indie Book Publishing, this interview brought to you by Inspiring Voices. Hello, Gail.
Hello, Steve.
Great to have you on the show. This is an incredible, tragic story of, we'll learn about your son's depression, Zoloft, and the tragedy that happened in detail in a moment. But let me first read just a couple things that you want to say in general. Just to kind of set the stage, you say this: I Am Not Silent shares the true story of one family's faith-filled, life-changing journey through depression and the subsequent after-effects of a prescription antidepressant that sheds much-needed light on the frightening issue of drug-induced insanity. And I guess getting right to the point, your son, after taking this kind of prescription antidepressant, eventually had this drug-induced insanity, and he killed a woman and out of rage, and he's serving time in prison. So, Gail, let's go back to when Zach was, your son Zach, was just like the perfect son.
Okay. The whole family, our son included, Midwest, middle-class family, people that go to church, and our son had no prior history of outbreaks of rage or temper tantrums or any type of acting out in any way. And in high school, he began to suffer from depression. And we did not realize how deep his depression was, how severe it was, until he returned from his first year of college. It was then that we realized that he indeed was struggling greatly with the depression. We tried to get some counseling for him professionally. We also had him talk to our pastor. And these attempts did not do anything to lessen the agony that he was in. It was at that time that I suggested that he go to our family physician to get an antidepressant. And I was confident that because when you go to the doctor to get medicine, you should get better. But what I did not know was that these antidepressants can have serious side effects for some people. I will not deny that antidepressants work for some people, but I did not know they will not work for some people and can cause people to do some very bad things. Well, our son began taking this all off, and he felt very strange, and he felt weird, and he didn't feel like himself. And unknown to us, after about 21 days of taking the drug, he abruptly stopped taking the drug. And the night before this horrible tragedy happened, we noticed that he was real spunky, real feisty, and he was aggressive. And this was totally strange to us. We thought, wow, maybe he's feeling better. Maybe he's coming out of his depression, and we're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel with battling this depression. And then it was the next day that he went into a maniacal rage, and he murdered his friend in the basement of our home. And it was not until after we had a forensic psychiatrist by the name of Dr. Maureen Hackett from Minneapolis, Minnesota, evaluate our son and put all of this together that she came up with this conclusion that because Zach had abruptly stopped taking the Zoloft, he experienced something called discontinuation syndrome. And one of the things that can happen in discontinuation syndrome is for no reason at all, you can go into this violent rage that is just something that a normal human being is not able to control or handle.
So were there signs at all about Zach's depression? Did it all of a sudden just happen? I mean, was it just a shock to you?
No, we could see that he was not himself, and that was in his senior year of high school. And then in his first year of college, we recognized that he still wasn't himself. We asked ourselves, is he depressed? What's going on? We actually had our daughter and son-in-law talk to us one point and said that he was involved in alcohol more than he should be. And we didn't know if that was the depression or if that was just part of being at a university in North Dakota and the lifestyle that went along with that. We found out later that he was drinking more than he should. He was looking for some way, anyway, to ease the pain and to stop the misery that he was experiencing. And then when he came back, he went to to the Shepherd's Hill at the Crossroads Bible Camp, which is a Christian Bible camp. He went there for the summer and worked and was doing better, and then returned to Minot that fall to attend classes at Minot State University. And again, the depression began to deepen, and he became more and more miserable. And it's during that time there that we took steps to see if we could help him. That's when we had him go to Trinity Hospital for services there with a psychologist, and he talked to our pastor, and it was at that time I suggested I'm the one that he go to our family doctor to get an antidepressant. So it did take a period of time for us to know exactly how severe the depression was. But even up until he went to our family doctor to get a prescription, we did not know how deep an abyss he was in with this depression.
So in your mind, you're sending him to your family physician. You just don't really think twice about it.
Not at all, because when you go to a doctor to get medicine, you're supposed to get better. And when you listen to the prescription with the advertisements on television, they're always talking about how these antidepressants change your life and everything becomes happy again. And unknown to us, these antidepressants do not work for everybody. They can have serious side effects. It was after this young lady lost her life in our home that many people came forward, friends of ours came forward and started sharing their antidepressant stories with us. And none of them are good. None of them were happy stories. They were all stories of them wanting to become violent. One of our friends named Bonnie talked about how she's an alcoholic. They put her on Zoloft to fight the depression because that's why she was drinking. And at 2:30 in the morning, she woke her husband and said, "Take me to the emergency room. I want to kill somebody." So there were more and more stories like this. But still at that point, we did not think that's what caused our son to do this. And the police and the authorities kept telling us, "Well, your son just went bad on you. Accept it." Well, deep in our hearts, we knew our son did not go bad, and we were very confused from November 17th, 2003, until about the end of December, were some of the darkest days of our lives, because we did not know why our son had done this, what had caused this, what made him do this. He had been brought up in a home where he was taught to respect life. He was taught to respect women. He was taught to respect people. And that angry outbursts and acts of rage were no way to solve any issues. So it wasn't until the end of December that my good friend Steve Grainer sat me down. He really did. He sat me down and he looked into my eyes and said, "Gail," he says, "we need to get a hold of Dr. Perry." Dr. Bruce Perry is a renowned world expert on child trauma, and he's in Houston, Texas, and we went to high school with him. He was a very good friend of Steve's, and I only knew who he was. And Steve sent an email to Dr. Perry. Dr. Perry agreed to talk to my wife, Rhonda, and I. So one night he called us, we sat down on the phone, we told him our story. The first thing he said was, "You need to file an adverse event with the FDA. And the next thing you need to do is have a forensic psychiatrist evaluate Zach, because I have seen antidepressants cause young people, Zach's age and younger, become extremely violent while they're taking them." He says, "This certainly could be part of the reason that Zach did this."
Now, the legal system was not friendly, also was more aggressive against you.
Totally turned against us. They told us they kept us in suspense for 4 hours the evening that all of this happened, that they did not know where our son was. We were absolutely beside ourselves. We were grief-stricken because this young woman had lost her life in our home. We were worried about the safety of our son. His car was gone. We did not know if he had driven off to some isolated place and taken his own life. And it wasn't until late that evening, about 10 o'clock, they had known since about 6 o'clock where our son was all the time, and they didn't tell us.
And, of course,
that's when it started. And then from that point on, we were also the enemy.
You were the enemy. Especially, yes. Of course, with the drug company trying to defend itself.
Correct. And the way the state's attorney promoted the hate and the disdain for my son with this young girl's family is just unforgivable. And then during the court process, the way they mislead and distort and exaggerate, that they do anything they can to win. And then what we found out, too, is 2 weeks before the trial, Pfizer company had sent an attorney in to work with the state's attorney 2 weeks before the trial, prepping him, polishing him, making sure he understood completely how to, in the trial, paint my son with this brush of evil, so that the jury would be hearing all of those things rather than our expert witnesses saying, "Okay, here's what's going on," and so on, and here's why he went into this rage. And the jury just didn't hear that. They just didn't hear that an antidepressant can cause you to do this.
And the verdict, guilty, and his sentence?
He was sentenced to 35 years, and I was brokenhearted the day he was sentenced, as was my wife and our entire group of family and friends. But my son was able to make a statement before he was sentenced, and he stood up in the courtroom, and the judge asked him if he had anything to say before he was sentenced. And Zach turned to the family of this young girl and said, "None of this was planned. I did not want this to happen. I did not plan this to happen." He says, "But you don't believe me." And they just started yelling at him and saying horrible things. And then when the courtroom control was regained, he continued to look at him and said, "I accept responsibility for what happened at my hand." He said, "I did this physically, but not in my mind." He says, "But I'll accept responsibility." He says, "I will go to prison." He says, "I will serve my time. I will pay for my crime." He said, "But I will promise you this one thing. I am going to go to prison, but I will not let prison change me into somebody that I am not."
In the time remaining that we have, Gail, tell us what got you through this. How did you get through this? And how do you still deal with it?
It's a struggle. It's a little better now, but every day is a struggle because we know where our son is, and he's going to be away for a long time. We also know there is another family in Minot here whose loss is much greater than ours, and we can at least talk to our son in prison. They cannot talk to their daughter, and yet we know that Pfizer company has not accepted responsibility for this, and this young girl's family, they have not understood that Pfizer has something to do with this. The blame is totally on us. We get through because of our faith in our God and because of our church family and our friends, the many prayers that have been given up for us, the many acts of kindness that have been done for us. All those people that have helped us get through this, in my book I call them angels with skin. It is because of them. And it's during the darkest moments of your life, when nothing makes any sense and you're in the deepest despair, the only thing you can do is cling to your faith that God is there and He will see you through this and He has not forgotten you. When nothing makes any sense, when there's no logical explanation, theologically, there's no explanation, all you can do is cling to your God.
He's been in jail for how long?
It'll be 10 years this coming November.
And he is how old?
Zach is... He is 27.
27, and he still has how many years?
I don't think I'm doing the math real well. He is 29.
29, and how many more years?
He'll be in until he's 49.
He'll be in until he's 49. What's your, just a last word to those who recognize some problems with their children and think, well, they need an antidepressant?
If you recognize that your children are suffering, or any family member suffering from depression, I would suggest that you find a qualified, reputable psychiatrist to work with them, and someone that, when they prescribe an antidepressant, monitor how this person is doing, if not on a daily basis, weekly. And also calling and talking to family members, checking to see what they're observing for behavior. This would be the best case scenario for somebody that is suffering from depression and you're going the route of an antidepressant for treatment.
We've been listening to Gail Schmidt-Kuntz. He is the author of his book, I Am Not Silent, Our Zoloft and Depression Story. Gail, tell us how to get your book.
You can get my book online through Inspiring Voices. At their website, and also possibly if you have a Christian bookstore in your community, they may carry it. But the best place to get it is at the Inspiring Voices website. Just do a search for my name or the title of the book, and you will find it.
Well, thank you so much, Gail, for being with us on Indie Book Publishing.
Thank you, Steve, for having me on the show.
And this interview has been brought to everyone by Inspiring Voices.
You've been listening to Indie Book Publishing with your host, Steve Jorgensen. Join us again next week at noon Eastern as Steve interviews another great author.